Today we're going to continue our study on the fruit of the Holy Spirit as found in Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 to 23. Today we'll be discussing the fruit of long suffering. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit that indwells each one of us as believers would be our guide and teacher today. We pray you bless the listener, bless the saint of God. I pray they be built up in the things of the Lord. And Father, we pray for the lost soul that's listening today, that's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven when they die, that this would be the very day that they call upon the name of the Lord from a heart of faith, believing that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Father, we just commit this time into thy hand. We ask you to have your will and your way in our hearts and minds today, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Our study of the Holy Spirit brings us now to the fruit God calls long-suffering. As I've said before, this is not fruit that your flesh can produce. This fruit is the product of the indwelling Holy Spirit. This fruit is the product of the indwelling Holy Spirit in each believer as they are yielded daily to that Holy Spirit, and allow that indwelling Holy Spirit to guide and direct their lives. Amen. What is long-suffering? Well, the definition of long-suffering is this: patience, enduring of evil, a slowness to avenge wrongdoing, forbearance. It is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation, which does not quickly retaliate, nor rush to quickly punish. It is the opposite of anger in the Word of God, and is most often associated with mercy. So just why is long-suffering considered a fruit of the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, it begins with God. It begins with God. I'd have you turn with me to the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 34, in verse number 6, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth." So we see here, right here in the book of Exodus, we see that God, the Lord God, is long-suffering. Then notice also with me in 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3 with me, in verse number 20, the words of Almighty God say this: "Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water." So here we see, it talks about God being long-suffering in the day of Noah. He gave people living on the earth at that time opportunities to repent of their wickedness and get right with him. He was long-suffering. Amen. And he kept trying to deal with them as Noah was preparing the ark. But we know that man, except Noah and his family, rejected God, were evil and wicked, and he came and he destroyed them with the flood. Because long-suffering is a fruit that only the Holy Spirit can produce, it has to begin with God. God is the only one who can show us what real long-suffering is. Now, the second thing, we saw that long-suffering begins with God. We want to see, second of all, why long-suffering is considered the fruit of the Spirit is because it's found in the Bible. And I want us to look at some scripture that show us, talk about long-suffering. First of all, let us turn to Luke chapter 18, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 18 with me. And when you get to Luke 18, look at verse 7. The word of God, the words of God say this: "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" So here we see, right here, a case of the long-suffering of God. Amen. As he is long-suffering with those who will not get right and repent, those who are persecuting his own people, as they cry out to God for deliverance, he's long-suffering with that crowd, with the wicked, trying to get them, trying to deal with them to get right and repent of their wickedness. Now look at also with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 in verse number 14. The words of God say this: "And now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak," and then it says, "be patient toward all men." Didn't we say that one of the definition of long-suffering is patience? And we as Christians are not only instructed to be patient with one another as believers, but to be patient, long-suffering, towards all men. Amen. Now, looking in the book of James, chapter 5. James chapter 5, in verses 7 and 8, the words of God say this: "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." So here God is instructing the believers here in the book of James to be patient while they're waiting for him to return, to be long-suffering, to go through whatever they have to go through before he returns. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." So he says, just as the farmer is patient as he waits for the fruit, amen, for the fruit to be harvested, for the fruit to grow on the vine and be harvested, we are to do the same as we wait for his return. In verse 8, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." So we see then that we are to be long-suffering and patience, and go through the trials and tribulations, and whatever we have to face, whatever persecution, for the cause of Christ, until He returns. Now look with me in the book of Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 2. And when you get to Romans chapter 2, we want to look at verse number 4. The words of God say this: Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness, in forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance? So, what the words of God are speaking about here in the context is there are those who despise God. Amen. Who won't get right with God despite His long suffering with them, trying to get them to do right and to be right with Him. Amen. They reject Him. They reject knowing that the goodness, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. The reason God is dealing with them, the goodness of God, the reason He's long-suffering with them is to get them to repent. And then in Romans chapter 9, in verse 22, the words of God say this: What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endureth with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? See? God here shows that God is long-suffering. See? He wants to show forth His wrath, His power, His strength. But He holds back. Amen. He holds back from pouring out His wrath and displaying His power. Because again, He's long-suffering. He's trying to deal with those that are unsaved and wicked to get right before that happens. And of course, we know that in the tribulation, His wrath is going to be poured out on the earth and those inhabitants on the earth. But for right now, He's long-suffering. He's holding back His wrath because He's trying to get people to get right, to do right, to be saved, to be born again. Now let's turn to, we're saying, why is long-suffering considered a fruit of the Holy Spirit? We saw that because, first of all, that it begins with God, and now we're looking at, because it's found in the Bible over and over again, long-suffering. Long-suffering. Look in 2 Corinthians with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And once you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let's read together verses 4 through 10. But in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, and distresses. So here He's talking to us who are ministers of God. Each believer is a minister of God. But he's saying a true minister of God, the test of a true minister of God, the approval of a minister of God is that he's patient. He's long-suffering as he faces, he says, in afflictions and necessities and distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings and fastings. What better person under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to speak these words? Amen. Because Paul the Apostle, faced all of these things that we're talking and discussing about here with long-suffering and patience. By pureness, in verse 6, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Real love, not fake love. See? But we see there, by the Holy Ghost. See, only by the indwelling Spirit can this fruit of long-suffering and the other ones we talked about, love and joy and peace, can be produced as the believer is yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. See? The ministers of God, the believer, is to be long-suffering and patient. Amen. As they do the work of the Lord, as they administer to others, as they try to get others to see their need for Jesus Christ and their need to be saved, to see that their condition spiritually is a poor, as a pauper, but as a person who is saved and born again, as it says here, possessing all things. We have all things in Christ, do we not? Amen? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 with me. And once you get to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the words of God say this. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. The Apostle Paul considered himself the prisoner of the Lord, the Lord's captive. Amen. He says, beseech you. He's saying, as the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you, I plead with you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Whatever God has called you to do, he says, amen. I beseech you, I plead with you to walk worthy, amen. To walk worthy of that vocation. And this is how we're to walk. With all lowliness, meekness, and here it is, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's how we are to walk. Humbly, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another, not being so easily provoked. We all have faults. They're all things about each other that drive us crazy. But the Word of God instructs us to be long-suffering, to be patient, to put up with one another. Why? So the work of Christ can be accomplished and done. If we're busy fault-finding with one another and pointing out each other's faults and letting each other get under our skin, nothing will be accomplished. That's what the devil wants. He wants us to take our eyes off of the Lord and put them on someone else. And we know right well that human flesh is wicked, will fail us. There's nothing good in it. The only reason anything gets accomplished is because of an indwelling Holy Spirit when the believer is yielded to that indwelling Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Notice Hebrews chapter 6. in Hebrews chapter 6, in verse number 12. We read this in the words of God, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and, here it is, patience, inherit the promises. And what the words of God are talking about is we are to follow the example of the saints of God who have gone on before us, who didn't even see the things that we see now, or know the things that you and I know now. But they continued in patience. Amen. They continued in patience through faith. Amen. And because they continued in faith and patience, they inherited the promises to come. Amen. So the word of God tells us we are follow the example of the saints that have gone before us. As they were long-suffering, we are to be long-suffering. Let's look at one more scripture here. Talks about long-suffering, and that would be in the book of James again. In James chapter 5, verse number 10. James 5:10, we read this. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. So here the Bible gives us, the words of God give us, examples to follow on how to be long-suffering, or those who were long-suffering, the prophets, the Old Testament prophets. Many of them preached year after year, amen, against the nation of Israel, against their wickedness and idolatry and sinful living. They were patient. They saw very little, if any, visible results of their ministry. But they were patient, and they kept preaching, and they suffered the affliction that went along with being the mouthpiece of God, the man of God during that time. And they had it a lot worse than we had. Amen. But we're to follow their example. The Old Testament prophets, as they were long-suffering, and they put up with much. Amen. As they preached. Amen. A very unpopular message. Amen. Destruction. Destruction because of their disobedience, because of their idolatry, and because of their sinful way of living. But they were patient. Now, again, we're looking at today in our study the fruit of the Holy Spirit, long-suffering. And we said, why is long-suffering considered a fruit of the Holy Spirit? Well, we saw, number one, it begins with God. Number two, because it's found in the Bible, amen. And because it is the opposite of all that is ungodly. See? Why is long-suffering considered a fruit of the Holy Spirit? Because it is the opposite of all that is ungodly. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. The words of God say this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Without long-suffering being evident in our lives, the world would also remain unsaved. You see, the world reviles the people of God. The world despises the people of God. It is impossible for our flesh to love and be long-suffering towards those who are bitter against us. But the power of the Holy Spirit can be long-suffering. But to be long-suffering, my friend, is against our nature. To be long-suffering is impossible for us to be in and of ourselves. And to be long-suffering is the opposite of what we already are. See, so here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we see that the Lord is long-suffering. That's why he doesn't pour his wrath out on this sin-sick, wicked world, this sin-sick, wicked country that we live in. It's because he's long-suffering. He doesn't want any to perish and go to hell. He wants all to come repentance, to get right with him, so that their sins can be forgiven, and so they'll have a home in heaven for time and eternity. How can we be long-suffering as believers? The answer is, follow the example of Jesus. Follow the example of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 25. It says this, the words of God say this. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. See? He's saying, what if you're buffeted? What if you're punished for something that you've done? Do it patiently. It's your own fault. But if you're persecuted, amen, and you suffer for doing well, for doing right, again, be patient, go through it, and this is acceptable with God. It pleases God when you suffer, and you suffer patiently for the cross of Jesus Christ. Verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So we know that Christ suffered, and he died, he shed his precious blood, so that we, our sins could be forgiven, and we could have a home in heaven for time and eternity if we believe on what he did on the cross at Calvary. But another reason he suffered was to leave us an example, so that we could follow that example of suffering. And as we go through the rest of this passage here in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verses 20 to 25, we're going to see that example that we are to follow, how he was long-suffering as he was persecuted and wrongly accused and put to death, and so forth and so on. But we'll continue here and finish out the fruit of long suffering next time we come together on the pastor's study. Again, the Fruit of the Holy Spirit study will be available on CD. If you'd like a copy of the study, again, just drop me a line at the address given at the end of the broadcast. Until we meet again, I pray that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.